This is an iHeart podcast.
All right, we're going to talk about the monstrous response from Democrats on that assassination. We have the coach, Tommy Tuberville, here. We have a pastor. We have Steve Dace. We have a great show for you tonight on I'm Right. Okay. In the wake of this terrible assassination, I know you've been sad, angry, maybe praying, maybe went to church yesterday for the first time in a while, all those things, and all those things are good. But I also know that this has been a very revealing moment for a lot of people in this country, not just the assassination, but the communist response to the assassination. It's been a very revealing moment. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe over the past few days you've been looking around, maybe looking at social media, looking at these people celebrating the way they're celebrating, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, we're surrounded by monsters. This is from Tom Elliott at Gravian.
We're got Charlie in the neck, in the neck. We're got Charlie in the neck.
Charlie Kirk just got shot in the neck. Hey, ooh, ha, ooh.
Charlie Kirk got shot and he's dead.
Finally. Thank you. Can we keep this up?
Charlie Kirk was a f***ing Nazi. He was a f***ing Nazi. And you know what kind of Nazi is the best Nazi? A dead one.
Eye for an eye, bitch. I think the only thing that went wrong that day was that Trump wasn't standing behind him getting a secondhand bullet.
You support Charlie Kirk being killed?
Yes, I do.
You support Charlie Kirk shooter?
Sure do.
Charlie Kirk was a big advocate for the Second Amendment. It worked out well for him.
Why are you mourning the death of a literal Nazi?
I know it's bad. It's hard to watch. And I'm not going to go on and play other videos of them celebrating, but I know you've seen it. We have nurses, doctors, lots of them. We have military personnel. We have people at FEMA. People, in fact, not just FEMA, all throughout the government. People all across the country. This is not one case. It's not 20 cases. It's not 1,000 cases. There are lots and lots and lots of people in this country who are quite happy with the political assassination. And we have, in the wake of this, we have poll numbers that maybe you've seen before, maybe you haven't, showing that it's something like 77, 78% of Democrats in this country feel that it's okay to celebrate when a political opponent dies. That's 4 out of 5. That's almost 80%. This is not a kooky left-wing idea. This is mainstream Democrat thought. And maybe you're just now realizing this. Maybe this is just now hitting you. I wanted to explain why we're here. Maybe it will make you feel better. Maybe it will make you feel worse. But there are reasons exactly why we are here. And the first one you must understand, or you might as well turn off the show because you won't ever understand anything else. In fact, you'll never understand what you're facing. The first critically important point where it all begins is they don't value the sanctity of an individual's human life. Your life, my life, really anyone's lives, their own lives. You should understand this extends to them as well. Human life itself, for them, is not necessarily worth anything. It's only worth what it contributes to the revolution. You see, if you ask me about a human being dying, even a bad person, someone I hate, someone on death row, who killed kids, I'd be happy to pull the switch, don't get me wrong. I'd be supportive of that person being put down like the dog he is. But even pulling the switch, there would be some sorrow there. Because that's a God-created human being who is now no longer on this earth. That is my moral framework. But what if you could take that moral framework and just remove it from people? No, not created by God. No, not a wonderful, sacred individual. Just a cog in the wheel. You're just skin, hair, teeth. You're just, well, here's what you are. You are useful to the revolution, or you're an enemy to the revolution. There's a reason these people even eat each other. Human life to them is simply not valuable. Now, that's where you begin. And that is mainstream Democrat thought. That is where you begin. Traveling down that road are a couple other extremely toxic elements. The first of them, and we have to acknowledge that this is real, is all this LGBTQ demonic crap, which has now turned into extreme devil-worshipping tranny garbage. These tranny killers, they're not, it's not a one-off. The people involved in this LGBTQ, the online movement, it's not a one-off. What's happening there? Well, take a young person, start chopping off their body parts, start injecting them with all kinds of hormones and God knows things, and soon that human soul that used to be there can be killed, can be removed, and now you're left with a bitter, angry husk of a person. There are radical, evil terror cells in this country. But more than just the terror cell aspect, back to what we were discussing. I have told you several times before, I've used the analogy of a building. Think about the whole country as a building. You know, the top floor is where the management is, all the way down to the bottom floor, that's where the interns are. And communism, Marxism, has been slowly but surely working its way up from the bottom floor into the top floors. They've been filling up every part of our society, including the military. I warned you what was happening in this country a long time ago. They consider you to be the bad guy. So yes, they're destroying the military as a foreign fighting force, but they're not destroying the military in their mind. In their mind, they're building a military. They're building a military for a purpose. It's just not the purpose you want. If you're sitting there right now saying, Jesse, stop being so ridiculous, this is over the top, no one would use the military to fight their own citizens, I would simply invite you to go open, a history book. It's not just the military, it's the medical profession, it's the legal profession. While we were sleeping, while we were at school, at work, raising families, these people were filling up our institutions, and soon you wake up one day to the terrible news, Charlie Kirk's been assassinated, and you find out demons all over your country are cheering it on, and you're looking around wondering, what? We allowed these people to move from the bottom floor into every single floor of our society. Now, consider this. You have a whole lot of people who don't value human life, people who are mentally broken, people who have infiltrated every aspect of our institutions, then you add in the coup de grace Democrat rhetoric.
Like we're in a war right now to save this country, and so you have to be willing to do whatever is necessary in order to save the country.
I know those words are not impactful to you, but you don't share the three characteristics I just talked about. You value human life. You're not mentally broken. You're just the people who are mentally shattered, the people who don't value human life. They hear Democrat after Democrat, after media person talk about we're at war with Hitler, Nazi Hitler, Nazi Hitler. And they hear orders, marching orders. And now this brings me to the people I despise the most. Republicans who are trying to fade the heat for the communists. Understand that Democrats are terrified right now. American communists are terrified right now. They are terrified because one of their pets took things too far, killed somebody who was beloved, and now the right is filled with a righteous anger, and we want communism snuffed out completely in this country, and the communists know it. They know that that was probably too far. Uh-oh, oopsie, we look bad. Everyone knows we're demons. Now is the time to purge them from our shores. And as per usual, that it is that exact moment you will find GOP elected leaders from almost always from blood red states who step up and try to fade the heat for them. It's time for unity, guys.
It's just unthinkable that this is happening in the United States of America. And so the time for unity, the time for peace, it is now.
no peace with demons. And don't think it was just Katie Britt, the most despicable eunuch in the United States Senate. His name is James Lankford. About this time last year, he was working with Joe Biden to try to pass an amnesty deal before Donald Trump could get elected. In a moment where communist demons are murdering us and threatening to do more, this is what he went on television and said.
Well, I would say if there's someone preparing to be able to take out an aggressive act against someone or to be able to violate the law, that is the role of law enforcement to be able to protect Americans. We need to be careful in how we talk about this, whether it is talking about white nationalists and preparing to be able to attack and to be able to carry an attack, or to somebody like a Timothy McVeigh that hated the government intensely and in my state 30 years ago, mm-hmm. murdered 168 people in Oklahoma City, or whether it is a leftist group that is interested in actually attacking a pro-life center that we saw several years ago, or whether it's carrying out some other act of terrorism or trying to be able to intimidate people. We should have equal application of the law to saying if you're choosing to be able to carry out an aggressive, violent act, that should be something that we actually try to interdict anytime that we possibly can.
White nationalists? Timothy McVeigh? Look at the controlled opposition stepping in, trying to fade the heat as the whole world is glaring at the communists. Disgusting. Oklahoma, what are we doing? He's got a primary coming up. What are we doing? Wake up. Red states, wake up and start getting involved in your primaries. Stop voting for the goober you see on Fox News every night. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk to Steve Dace about that low-T eunuch and other things in a moment. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about what's in here. You know what's in here? Well, yeah, it's coffee. But it's chocolate. It's delicious. You know what it is? Colostrum. Specifically, it's cowboy colostrum. My sister was pestering me about colostrum this summer, saying that she's been starting to take this colostrum and now she never gets sick. And, you know, stomach feels great, body feels great. I kind of blew her off, I'll be honest. She finally talked me into trying some. Stuff is freaking amazing. Don't get sick. My skin feels good. Gut feels good. Try some. It's delicious. I put two scoops in my morning coffee. They have vanilla and strawberry and chocolate and everything. I put two scoops in my morning coffee every morning. Fantastic. CowboyColostrum.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
There is a domestic terrorism movement in this country. When you see these organized doxing campaigns where the left calls people enemies of the Republic, calls them fascists, says they're Nazis, says they're evil, says they have to be removed, and then prints their addresses, what do you think they're trying to do? They are trying to inspire someone to murder them. That is their objective. That is their intent. We are going to do what it takes to dismantle the organizations and the entities that are fomenting riots, that are doxing, that are trying to inspire terrorism, and that are committing acts of wanton violence. It has to stop. And my message is to all of the domestic terrorists in this country spreading this evil hate, you want us to live in fear? We will not live in fear, but you will live in exile.
Wow. I've got to tell you, the clarity I have heard from the White House in the wake of this assassination, not just Stephen Miller, Donald Trump himself, J.D. Vance, has been pretty on point. Joining me now, you know, Steve will give us the straight skinny on what he thinks, the host of the wonderful Steve Dace Show, Steve Dace. Steve, clarity is wonderful.
What Stephen is addressing there, Jesse, is what I am dubbing political sadism. And this goes beyond even divisive partisan rancor, worldview clashes, where now I get off on the literal physical suffering of my opponents. And I cannot wait to share that kink publicly and that fetish publicly with others similarly fetishizing and kinkizing this level of sadism. We cannot tolerate it in any form of a civilized society. Brother, I'm just going to tell you right now, if we let this go mainstream, we're 5 minutes away from Antietam, and it won't be you and I with boots on the ground, Jess. It's going to be our sons and grandsons. They're going to be there. We have to, Stephen Miller is correct. We have to punish this political sadism. There needs to be a very high social cost and stigma. To me, the outings, shunnings, and firings that are currently occurring on social media should continue until morale improves. My morale, mine, not theirs, mine. Till my morale improves, and yours and your audiences. This just cannot be allowed in any form of a civilized society. It's the most uncivilized of behaviors. Teachers showing these videos to their students and gleefully getting off on it. People, and when you look at the industries where we're seeing a lot of this in, healthcare, education, you know, these are supposed to be caretaker industries, neutral parties who just care about the human condition, and yet it appears they are completely replete with this sadistic savagery. It's got to be rooted out. It cannot be tolerated. To me, it's now the number one political objective we have, is that this political sadism has to be rooted out, exposed, and ultimately, and most importantly, punished.
I look at it, not just do I agree with what you just said, Steve, I look at it in practical terms. We have for decades sat around while communists have embedded themselves in critical institutions in this country. And so now, if this is an opportunity to root out some of those demons, maybe even the most vile, certainly the loudest of them, that's only a net win, not just for us and my emotional well-being, for the United States of America. We're better off today than we were yesterday if some communist nurse got fired and now it's not going to look over me as I have my heart surgery.
100%. You know, I think I've used this analogy on your show in the past. The reason that Reagan did the arms military buildup he did in the 80s was he wanted to send the signal to the Kremlin after two decades of weakness in the Cold War that there was mutually assured destruction, because the crazies in the Kremlin were beginning to think they could launch and they might win a nuclear war and we might stand down and hand them the world. And Reagan wanted to show them, you launch, we will launch back, and there is no winner. There's just a radioactive anthill. And that mutual destruction, is assured destruction, created a term called deterrent. What we need in our body politic right now, Jesse, whether it is you can shoot our candidates, you can imprison our candidates, you can shoot our generals out in broad daylight, you can cancel me, you can shun me, you can take me off the air, you can deprive me of a living, is it's one side doing this and there's no reprisal. And there's no real organized pushback. And they will keep, they'll keep instigating, they'll keep amplifying these efforts, and there'll be more Charlie Kirk, sadly, unless we finally establish mutual assured destruction. You cannot do this to us. We will return the favor. There's no win here. This is a nihilistic, you just turned down nihilistic avenue. Turn back. You won't like how this street ends. Because right now they think they're going to win this. That's why they're so out in the open. They think now it is safe for them to gleefully demonstrate just how tar black the soul of these people really are. And we need to show that, nope, there's the societal cost for this is too high. You cannot do this. You cannot inject this into the water table of the culture, or you will be shunned. And I love the word that Stephen used there, exiled. Exactly. You will be exiled from polite society, like we exile actual racists. No one stands up and says, here's my white sheet and here's the cross I just burned in my black neighbor's yard last night. No one would do that. They would expect to completely lose everything they care about in life if they did. No one stands up and says, hey, here's my NAMBLA membership card and actually let me put on my Facebook page pictures of all the kids I molested. No one does that because they know they would be shunned and they'd lose the societal cost. They'd lose everything in life they hold dear. And that needs to be how we punish this political sadism next.
Yeah, speaking of this sadism, there's a video I know you've seen. There's a lot of them I could show you. I know you've seen them all the way I have. But this was a student at Texas Tech.
Your homie dead. Your homie dead. Your homie dead. He got shot in the head. Your homie dead.
Evil is real, people, and it kind of looks like that.
Steve, setting aside everything else, the anger, she was arrested and expelled. Credit to Texas Tech for that. I want you to tell me, take as much time as you need, how does someone turn into that?
Brother, that is the old stained glass window term for what your audience just saw is idolatry. and that ultimately every heart has a God-shaped hole, as the philosopher Blaise Pascal acknowledged. And we are either going to put the creator of the universe in that space, and then that will help us to rightly divide how the world operates and have the right worldview and understanding of why the world is the way it is, why we are the way we are, and then what can be done about it, and then what's the purpose and meaning of my life. If we do not put the creator of the universe there, we're going to put the things of this fallen world there instead. And what it'll turn us into is what you see in that woman. I mean, she is lost to what I call the spirit of the age. She has given herself over to another religion, all right? And she thinks it's just a political ideal or a moral ideal. It is every bit a religion, except it is not the religion that compels the building of hospitals or orphanages or mercy or grace, but one that offers no mercy and grace, truly demonic and nihilistic in nature. And if a white student had come up to her and screamed and yelled, "I hope every black person dies. I hope everyone who thinks like you is dead. I think everyone who wants racial equality, I hope they all die," that person would be expelled and expunged from polite society, and almost nobody would stand up to defend them because they did it to themselves. They played themselves. This needs to happen now on the other foot. See, when you're this far gone, you won't police yourself. You're too far gone. And so there's going to need to be external forces, societal pressures, social mores that'll do it for you, that'll make you think, even if I think this, I wouldn't dare inject this into the body of the water table of the culture, because the cost would be too high. I'll lose my standing. I'll lose my job. I'll lose relationships. We need to go back because of so much spiritual lostness in this culture. We need to reestablish shame-based, mutually assured destructions. You will be rightfully shamed if you do these kinds of things, so do not do them. If you won't police yourself, then we will do it for you.
Steve, I have to be honest, buddy. I despise James Langford more than I hate any talking head on CNN.
Oh, I was just saying that on my own show, Jesse.
That little wildebeest.
Oh,
yeah. Yep. Here he was again. Here's another clip, and I'll give it to you. Here he was.
At any governmental level or in the private sector, are you comfortable having someone fired for an utterance about Charlie Kirk's death?
Yeah, this is about protecting the individual businesses, and what people are seeing is this cancel culture that still persists.
Steve, I can't talk me off a ledge, buddy. I just can't deal with this eunuch anymore.
I'm not only going to not talk you off the ledge, I'm going to say move over, Rover, okay? Find me a spot, all right? A shotgun. I opened my own show with this earlier today. I do not have any temptation at all to hate people that are demonically deceived, even as I am, you know, using whatever tools God allows me to defeat their ideology. Therefore, by the grace of God, go I. The people that I struggle to not hate are James Langford, frankly. The people that wear our own jersey and simp and ankle grab for the spirit of the age. And one of the reasons why a 31-year-old friend of mine with two small children at home is never coming home to hug those babies ever again is because he had to go and do the dirty work that men like James Langford for the last generation were just too good to do, with Bible verses, of course. And of course they didn't want to get their hands dirty. They couldn't be bothered to do that work. And they were actually claiming they were the ones reaching out to the middle of the aisle and across the aisle. The only thing that James Langford's ever reached out to do is try to pass a mass amnesty bill against behind our backs in an election year just about a year ago. James Langford is a despicable traitor, and the contrast of leadership between Erica Kirk, in the deepest of despair you could possibly be as a wife and a mom, and you see the extraordinarily prophetic statement that she gave on Friday night, and you contrast that with James Langford, Mr. Christian, and yet on a Sunday morning, he ain't in church, Jess. No, on Sunday morning, he's at the Church of the Spirit of the Age, grabbing his ankle, saying, "Thank you, sir. May I have another? We'll pontificate for food. We'll betray my own base for clicks and for audience." And tisk, tisk, please, no, I'm not like those other Christians out there. No, you're not. You're not, James, which is why Charlie is having a hero's burial all over the country as we speak, and you, sir, are reduced to CNN.
Steve, talk again soon, brother. We're going to talk to a pastor next. Before we talk to a pastor, the culture war still must be fought with our dollars. We have to remember that corporate America has been fighting this fight for a very long time and not on our side. They have been fighting against us with our money for years and years and years and years and years. Stoking the flames, pouring gas on the flames. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile are companies that should never get a dime of your money, ever. They've been knee-deep involved. I remember my local T-Mobile store, big old rainbow flag, the works. Not Pure Talk. I switched to Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company. I pay way less. I have the exact same coverage. I got to keep my phone number, pain-free. Switch to Pure Talk and save a fortune and put your money where your morals are. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
I will never, ever have the words to describe the loss that I feel in my heart. I honestly have no idea what any of this means. I know that God does, but I don't. But Charlie, baby, I know you do too. I know you do. So does our Lord. And our world is filled with evil. But our God, you guys, our God is so good. He's so incredibly good. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
Dang. That was awesome. Joining me now, lead pastor of the Well Church in Boulder, Colorado, Chase Davis. Pastor, it's not just Erica Kirk. Obviously, she deserves all the credit in the world. I have seen in my own community in the past few days what looks like a revival. It's like Billy Graham's back bouncing around the country.
It's amazing. We had so many people visit our church yesterday, young men dressed in a red tie and a blue suit like Charlie. I mean, I'm hearing reports all over the country of men aspiring to be like Charlie, to live into his legacy. And like you mentioned, it's really something I haven't seen. I was a young man after 9/11. We saw a bit of people returning to church after a national tragedy like that. But it seems to be striking a different chord, you know, with 9/11. This was an outside enemy coming into our country. And now, as it is today, we have a large segment of our population who are enemies of God. And people are waking up and they've decided to take Pascal's wager seriously because they're looking and they're seeing these people celebrate the death of this godly young man who wanted nothing more than to have good conversations and debates defending the truth, struck down. And there are murderous people in our country who are celebrating it. And there needs to be change, there needs to be action, because we are in a grave position. As much as I'm celebrating what kind of legacy Charlie is having and the impact he's having among young people, it is unnerving to know there are millions of people in this country, whether it's teachers or people in colleges, whatever it may be, who are openly celebrating and dancing on his grave. It's shameful, disgusting behavior, and they need to be called to account for that kind of not just rhetoric, but belief. I mean, it's totally anti-God, it's leftist, and so it's very difficult time, and I sympathize greatly with Erica. I'm so thankful for her boldness and the way God is even using her voice in this time. But we're seeing a lot of people respond positively to God and looking for answers other than what they're seeing in the world, which is great.
Pastor, I'm sensing a real sadness in so many people. Frankly, I'm sensing it in you, where people are realizing that we have monsters all around us. I mean, so some people come to this realization in their own time, but I'll tell you, in my own family, my wife, just as you said, it wasn't even the assassination, which was terrible. She cried all afternoon, but it was the response to it. She was just so crushed to realize, I mean, these are our neighbors. We don't have many Democrats in the neighborhood. We have two Democrats in the entire neighborhood. Both of them were cheering on social media about his assassination. It was the realization that the monsters aren't just on television. They're behind you in line at Starbucks. They're all around us, and it saddens people a great deal.
Oh, it's not just saddened, but as a man who has been tasked not just as a husband and a father to protect my own family, but as a shepherd of God's flock, my particular congregation, the Weld Church, who's tasked with protecting that flock. You know, it's maddening. And this is stuff that we, particularly our church in Boulder, which is very liberal, very left, we've been saying it for years. We've been trying to warn people for years that this stuff isn't going away. These people are with Trump's kind of being with Trump's presidency, they're not just like going quietly into the night. They're still in the colleges. They're still in the universities. They make up a large percentage of social workers. They're deeply embedded and they're brazen. They're brazen. They're sticking their head out and saying, this is good that he died. And it's highly disturbing. So I've received multiple messages over this last week of people finally waking up, finally coming to terms with this is what's going on. Okay, I get it now. What do we do? And that's the question I'm getting a lot. What are we going to do? Because they know that Charlie Kirk, the reason a lot of people are saying I am Charlie Kirk, is Charlie Kirk was a good man who could have been any one of us. He was a younger man than me, just by a few years, but he could have been any one of us. And if they're willing to celebrate his death, then they would celebrate my death as well. And that's what a lot of people are waking up to. It's sad that it took so long for them to wake up, but it's good that God is moving in this way to show people, hey, this is a real problem. You have a real enemy that we're going to have to deal with.
I think a lot of people have a hard time with the concept that it is a spiritual battle. I've tried to explain to people for the longest time that communism is a religion. It's not political. It's not taxes. It is a religion that is opposed to God in every way, and it always has been. From its very inception, it has viewed Jesus, the church, as the enemy. When they were burying pastors alive in the Soviet Union, that is how they look at it. And the Christian church in particular in America has a hard time accepting that because we've had it so good for so long.
We have, yeah. We've had it good for a long time. This country was founded on Christianity, Protestant Christianity. And so a lot of people have been asleep at the wheel. They've been unwilling and unable to articulate the great and grave threat that this nation and our churches face. And like you mentioned, a lot of people will kind of pin it on a verse like, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities over this present darkness and powers. Well, the problem is those principalities and powers over this present darkness never stay in the immaterial realm. And it's not just spiritual entities. They manifest themselves through demonic forces like transgender ideology and capture souls who are then weaponized against God's people. Satan's chief aim is to destroy God's people. And so, pastors, it's time to wake up. If you are not awake already, it's time to get up to speed because these people are demonically oriented, if not demonically oppressed. They are flirting with forces of darkness. That is why you often see these people not just with rainbow flags and pins on their backpacks, but also satanic antichrist symbology and everything they do. They're into witchcraft and occultism, and it needs to be confronted. It needs to be confronted from pulpits very strongly that Christians cannot participate in any of these neo-Marxist communist lies. We cannot participate in the works of darkness. It's clear from scripture, but we also need the state to step in because we as God-fearers are not people who are vigilantes. We need the state to step in. I'm seeing good rhetoric from Miller, Vance, and others in the administration, but we need them to act now. We need them to do things to extract and remove this godless ideology from public education, from public universities, from corporate America, from any kind of benefits, these NGOs that are funding and have been funding these communist organizations who are hell-bent on the destruction of people and eradicating God from society. They need to be removed and taken off the board. That's going to look, there's lots of possibilities for that, mainly financial, and stripping them of any ability to influence the youth. It's so sad to me. There's so many young people that are hungry for meaning in life, and I have such a heart for them, a pastor's heart, to show them that real meaning, true life is found in Jesus Christ. And instead, we just hand them the internet. We hand them over to these wicked pagan institutions that do not know God, that promote all sorts of wickedness and transgender ideology, all this stuff in the schools. And I have a great deal of sympathy for these kids who are trapped in that system. We need to set them free. We need to help them know the Lord. And we do need the state to step in to help protect God's people.
Amen. Pastor, keep at them. Appreciate you. All right. We're not done. We have more next. Look, in times like this, leadership matters a lot. And sadly, leadership can be hard to come by in times like this, especially in a country where a lot of your leaders are stupid or they're gutless and they don't speak with any boldness at all. But we do have some in this country who they're just on point and they've been wonderful, and it's been wonderful watching them lead us through things. Joining me now, Coach Tommy Tuberville, Senator from the state of Alabama, probably going to be governor, probably still won't let people call him governor or anything else, but Coach. Coach, I know Charlie Kirk was your friend. I know you knew him. It's a heavy friggin' time out here.
It is heavy, Jesse, and it's a tough time for a lot of people. You know, I've been here 5 years and seen the rhetoric for that complete time, even during my campaign for 2 years. And it's understandably an awakening for all of us. Of course, they tried to shoot President Trump. And now they've gotten a guy that everybody just loved just because of what he stood for. You know, Charlie Kirk was a teacher. He was a teacher of Christian values. And that's why they took his life, because he was changing kids' lives every day. And he didn't care. He didn't do anything other than say, listen, I'm going to walk into the mouth of the lion and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to help save this country. And we're going to need a lot more people like him.
Coach, you said they took him out in large part because of his faith, and I'm glad to hear you say that. I don't think a lot of people understand that he was martyred, that's what this was, that we have this really demonic element in this country that's really, really conquered much of this tranny movement stuff. And they are violent, and they are on the move, and they hate your church, and they hate your faith, and they hate people speaking up, and we have to be, you know, true to stakes, as the good book says.
Exactly. And if you just look at the stance of the Democrats, the side that they've taken of killing millions and millions of unborn abortion, that's where pretty much all of it has started over the years, and it's just important that we understand that. But now we've gotten into the transgender mode, pretty much changing gender. I don't know how many genders that the Democrats want to have, but last time I counted, it was about 64. Absolutely amazing. But Jesse, at the end of the day, it's all about moral and Christian values, and values that this country was built on. And they can't stand it. And I'm sick and tired of hearing these hypocrites going around and blaming, saying a lot of the blame is on the Republicans. They've got to be out of their mind, because we have fought back and tried to get people on the left to understand, listen, you are on the wrong side of this. I mean, this is not America that you're talking about, or that you're trying to push on the American people. This is totally opposite. But now you can hear some of them say, well, you know, we think that the Republicans went too far. We didn't go far enough, to be honest with you. And why did Charlie Kirk die? Because he did go far enough, and they were tired of listening to it. And so it's just unfortunate for a young man, 31 years old, had a bright future in front of him, but he did more good work in a 10, 12-year period on college campuses than most of us will ever even come close to doing in a lifetime.
I'm glad to hear you bring up other Republicans, because there are multiple. There are some in the Senate. Their stupid faces are all over the television set, essentially handing the Democrats what they're begging for right now, trying to spread the blame around as if, oh, well, this is, everybody does it. You know, it's all sides. It's very clearly a Democrat tactic to fade the heat, as the kids say, and avoid the fact that their rhetoric combined with their mentally ill base has snapped a lot of very broken people, and it's made them monsters.
Well, it's because people up here try to get reelected, Jesse. They're trying to pander to the base on both sides and trying to act like, hey, we're here to try to help out. We're here to try to heal. There's no healing with the left, this group. They're a radical bunch that believe in changing this country to something that it's never been. They don't want God into our country. They don't want to teach God in our schools. They want to make sure that everything that is out there is more of a situation that is radicalized. And we see this all over the world now. Europe is pretty much gone. And that's the reason we had open borders, because they wanted to be able to have more people here that was on the Democrat side to remain in power, that they could radicalize, because they were going to be appreciative for letting them in this country. But they're losing every day. But again, I think some have been fed up with it. And that's the reason they went after President Trump. That's the reason they went after Charlie Kirk, is because they were a mouthpiece for the betterment of this country.
Senator, something, as I talk to you, you know, United States Senator, speaks boldly, running for governor, something I can't get off my mind is that they're not done, Coach. And I know this is something you know, and I know it's something you consider. It's not like that scumbag in Utah, who I won't name here, is the last one. There's a lot of very, very radicalized people out there, very violent. What are you doing for precautions?
Well, I mean, we've all been threatened, death threats. I've been swatted a couple of times at my home back in Alabama. But you're not going to stop these people, so there's no reason. If you're going to get into this business, you just got to take it and go with it part of the job. And so, but they're not going to put a muzzle on me. Now, they might put a muzzle on some of these people that want to reach out and think that they can change the world to the better. Hey, I'm tired of reaching out. I mean, enough's enough. I mean, they're hypocrites. They might love this country, but they want to love this country the way they want this country to be. They don't believe in the Constitution, free speech. you know, they don't believe in guns. Obviously, but they're using guns to kill people. And so, you know, it just makes you sick at your stomach that you have to deal with this every day. And, you know, I'd be nice to them. I could care less about them. You know, I really could, because if they really wanted this country to be a principled country with God's values, they would stand up to this nonsense that they're pushing on the left. Everything that they push goes against, you know, what we all learned about the values of moral values and God in this country. Everything. I mean, there's nothing that resembles anything that would make this country even stronger. So, you know, to my Republican colleagues, if you're going to go out and make friends with them, all you're going to do is end up fighting on their side. And I don't believe we need a fight. I hope it doesn't come to that. But let me tell you something. They have pushed the envelope here by killing a young man that was harmless. All he did was play with words. He tried to teach people the right things. He debated people. If he couldn't change their minds, he went on down the road and went to somebody else. But this is serious business here. Now, this is not about feelings. This is about somebody's life. And it's just unfortunate Charlie had to pay that ultimate price for the things that he believed in.
Coach, before I let you go, why governor instead of senator? We're running out of good ones here. Marsha Blackburn's leaving. J.D. Vance is VP. Now you're going to go be governor. There aren't many of you left. The Senate sucks.
Well, it's a hard place to get anything done, Jesse. I'm to the point where, you know, I was a builder when I was a coach. I was able to hire people to push an agenda, to win games. I'm going to do the same thing and go back to Alabama and pick out what I call a coaching staff of people that run all the departments along the state. We struggle in a lot of areas in Alabama. We shouldn't be. So I want to go back and build something for the next 8 years after this year and a half of being up here as a United States Senator and try to make a difference. Now, if you're going to do anything here, you're going to have to be here 25, 30 years. And that's what's unfortunate. There needs to be term limits, but that's never going to happen. Nobody's going to vote themselves out of a job. So I've decided to go back. And as I told President Trump, you're going to send the power and the money back to the states, and I'm going to take advantage of that. And he agreed with it.
Well, wish you all the best, Coach. Go get them, please. All right, we have a wonderful, wonderful light in the mood that I think will lighten your mood. Next. Saturday night, we got word that they were doing a vigil for Charlie Kirk in our little town. We just live in a little town. But we decided we wanted to go, pay our respects, say a prayer. We wanted to bring our boys so they could be there, see it, pray. And we brought our boys down, our little town. Now, someone had put up one Facebook post about it. This wasn't some official event. There were hundreds of people there. There was a sea of people in our little town. And people spoke, and they were bold, and it was wonderful. And for lighting the mood, we wanted to show you a bit of what's been going on around the country. Charlie Kirk being martyred has given rise to something wonderful.
This is an iHeart podcast.